this is awesome in practice. Well, first of all, that's fine. But we're also learning that what they are gleaning from practice does not translate to the field. That's a much larger obvious issue. Secondly, some of those plays are the guy jumps off sides. Some of the and sure, they had it called. They had it set.
They had the look.
They caught him in something. Look, the third nine or second nine, whatever it was, when they get Montgomery in that screen pass, they had it. They hit it. They had it. They got him. And he drops it. You know, some of these are, they can work. They're just not working. You know, and if you reverse engineered the game plan to say what's comfortable for you, then your margin for error is shrinking. Then whatever is on the Waffle House menu, his flowchart changes, his options change. It gives you way less margin for error for all of these pre-snap penalties and missed blocks.
I also think that we can ask some questions about what it is they're doing in practice. Because, you know, a lot of times what you'll do with the scout team is you'll make it look the way you want it to look. We're trying to get the ball to Allen Robinson, so they happen to play cover two, so we'll show you a cover two shell. And my guys were talking about yesterday on the podcast. I'm going to bring some of that back. Like, maybe there needs to be more attention paid to, all right, Mitch, they're showing a cover two look here, and then you go out and they show you cover three. And then what does your quarterback do?
They rolled a single high.
Absolutely. Mm. Like, then what does your quarterback do? Because it doesn't seem, when things are different from the dry erase board, he has the necessary next step. He doesn't have the counter. And that to me is on two things, and I don't want to absolve him. It's on your quarterback's ability to absorb and regurgitate information, and the coach not drilling it. If your play sheet has to go down to 15 plays, it has to go down to 15 plays. There's all sorts of ways you can change looks with formations and everything else. But the idea that he's going to be able to have the recall to do whatever it is that Nagy wants to do, I think is foolish. And at this point, it's been proven the opposite way. Connor, you were talking about Nagy's offense overall, mm-hmm, and what it is that he wants to do. There doesn't seem to be a systematic taking apart of a defense. Nothing. Where, hey, we're doing this so that later we can do this. Now, in some cases, they were able to do that, where you show I formation, and then finally you get boot off of that. You have the moving pocket, and you actually have Mitch looking the part for a couple of plays. But the fact that there's only a couple of plays in it, when it was on tape last week, that you weren't trying to do it early on in the game, that to me is really troubling, because I feel like he's just like, Nagy doesn't have a plan. It's just, I'm going to call this.
Calling plays is not game planning. They're different things.
It's an art.
Calling plays is a part of game planning. But calling plays is not the equivalent of game plan.
Well, it's back to the thing we talked about with Pat Manley, this idea that Mitch is a guy that you have to cut the field in half for. He just is. Yes. We've learned that now. So, and
I don't think that he's that bad when you cut the field in half.
I don't think so either. Read low to high or whatever you want to do. However,
and then throw it away or get the hell out of there.
Or move or go and grab a couple of yards. But the fact that you know that, I know that, Dan knows that, Nagy knows that, and you're rolling an empty set five wide out there on third and six, you get the right, it's exactly what you're saying, Dan, you got the right play call.
Without your second best player on the field,
But that doesn't fit in the game plan if you know that your guy is not going to make the correct read.
This transition is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears.
And you're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score, a radio.com sports station. I don't understand, like, that play infuriated me when they had third and six
empty set
and they go empty. And granted, you have a player open on that play. There should never be, if what you told me as an organization last year was, we're getting rid of Jordan Howard, and I'm not here to relitigate that. But what you told me was, we're getting rid of Jordan Howard. We moved up in the draft to get a guy because Jordan Howard wasn't a three-down back.
Yeah. A dynamic weapon
and
in the passing game.
We have a guy that is a three-down back. He's your second-best player on offense. There should never be a point, unless he needs a blow, that he should come off the field in David Montgomery. Never. And when I saw that yesterday and I saw them go to five wide, I'm just sitting there going, oh, okay, now you're going to tell the defense exactly what they're going, what you're trying to do, mm-hmm. and you're taking one of your best playmakers off the field. That, to me, is not great coaching. It can't be defended. I'm looking forward to seeing how he tries to defend it, but how in the world do you defend stuff like that?
It's evaluation, too, because the decision was we would rather have $200,000 more of cap space and Mike Davis plus this draft pick than Jordan Howard, $200,000 less of cap space, and David Montgomery.
But you then traded draft capital uh-huh. to get up to Montgomery, uh-huh. and clearly you had needs. Uh-huh. You had needs that went beyond whatever was going on at your running back spot. The whole thing is, it's been really, to me, they're very close to negating all of the goodwill from last year.
They've burned through that capital.
I don't know if they burned through all of it, because I think there are a lot of people who still, when they look at the Bears, go, why? This looked different before, and maybe they can get back there.
But you said it. Like, they had needs and spent the draft capital to go up and get Montgomery. They didn't think they had needs. They did it. They traded up for the guy because they didn't think they had needs. They didn't evaluate it that way. They haven't evaluated the practice correctly. They haven't evaluated the talent correctly in that practice because they don't see it.
The whole thing is not fun. And I'm glad that we get the opportunity to talk about some of this stuff more in depth. And I'm looking forward to having Anthony Heron on the show. He did some great stuff over on Fox explaining what Travis Kelce was doing to the Bears defensive line and why guys were getting so upset.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. You guys had some great stuff with Manley I'm going to share. My guys had some great stuff on the Under Center podcast that I want to share. We're going to try to build in some calls too. It sucks. All of it sucks. That's Bernstein and McKnight. They don't suck. They are on from 9 until noon every day. No, that's Rosenbloom's bit. You guys can't have that bit. They're on from 9 a.m. until noon every Monday through Friday. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. The top of the hour. Wait, let me find it here, Tony. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Join the Chicago Wolves in honoring veterans and active duty military during Military Appreciation Weekend games on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. I love when they do the back-to-backs at Allstate Arena. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. And this hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Tony, let's go.
Now Patrick Mahomes will be on the sidelines. Welcome to the NFL 2019, the year of the backup quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is out for the year. Drew Brees has been down since week one. Sam Darnold missed 4 weeks with mononucleosis. Nick Foles, brought in to make the Jaguars a contender, was hurt week one. And Cam Newton's been out for a month. These are all stars, the kind of players the league is built around. We aren't talking Mitchell Trubisky here.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Alex and Lance have both talked about how initially, what Lovey would say to them is, you give up 20 points, we should still be able to win. That number came down to 17. Guys, we can only give up 17 points. And as the offense continued to not have problems, it became 13, and we need to take the ball away. Like, that becomes our objective. But I'm saying, in the moment of the game, and yes, you have a terrible turnover, but all you have to do is keep them out of the end zone, and you probably win the game. Why is it not fair to ask the actual unit of your team that's good to be great in that moment?
Make me a bicycle, clown!
And I think it's fair to ask that question of the defense yesterday, too. This is exactly what I was talking about last week, where everyone wants to call them a Super Bowl caliber defense. If you've got an offense that is this devolved, then your defense has to be special. And now we're probably looking at them maybe having 22 to 25 takeaways instead of 36 takeaways like they had last year. And that makes a difference. When the game was on the line, when your offense had finally gotten their bleep together yesterday and had a chance, if you give them the ball back, to maybe win the game, momentum on their side and all that stuff, what happened? Carson Wentz and the Eagles put together an 8-minute and 14-second 16-play drive that pretty much ended your opportunity. And they end up getting 3 points out of it, and you lose by 8. There's a lot wrong. And as we continue to try to figure some of this stuff out, and I know that Mitch is first and foremost on everyone's mind, there's a lot of stuff that we need to discuss. But the head coach of the Bears is talking at Hallis Hall. I'm going to let you hear a few minutes of what he has to say about what's gone wrong with this group.
All right, to get started, in regards to with Eddie just had the thigh that we talked about yesterday. Other than that, no changes injury-wise. Just went back watching the game, all three phases, and it to have the start of the game offensively where you are doing exactly like I said, where you're getting into first and longs with penalties or sacks or negative plays, you can't have that. So that was the theme of the first half. For the offense, and then in the defense, bend but not breaking. Get in the second half, offense played better, and then the defense, that long drive there at the end, they converted a couple of those third downs, which I know the guys would like to have back. So not a lot of change from really what we talked about last night.
Matt, when you have those slow starts as a play caller, how does that affect the rhythm that you want to get into, and the rhythm with not just the play call but also with Mitch you're trying to develop?
Sure. Yeah. No. It definitely affects you. It's okay to, some of that's football. That's going to happen. You're going to have those negative plays at times. But what you can't do is you can't have them repeatedly. And then you have a couple guys get beat across their face. You have a holding penalty. You have a sack. You have a false start. And then you have a drop. And all that, it's almost like it's contagious, and that's what has to stop. It's got to be a positive mindset, let it go, and get on to the next play type deal. But, yeah, it can make it more challenging.
Man, I know you're always, trying to find the why part.
Yeah.
So when you look at, like, 5 straight 3-and-outs, mm-hmm. each one had, like, a different mistake from a different player, how do you figure out why that's happening?
Well, yeah, that's the part when we get with them on really tomorrow when they come back in here. We go through it and we watch and we why is that happening? What are the little details that are occurring or not occurring? And that's what we got to do as coaches is make them understand that you can't do this. And it always gets into the negative. Well, you can't. What are you going to do to make sure that doesn't happen the next play? It just snowballed yesterday in all this series. And then what it does, it affects the other side, meaning the defense, is they're on the field more. They have almost double the amount of plays, time of possession, et cetera. So it makes it hard.
Man, in general, with regard to those fast starts, that used to be a strength. That was a strength at the very beginning. Yeah. Remember last year, those first drives were really effective. Now they're not. What has changed with pretty much a similar task?
Yeah, we have not been effective to start the game with those drives. That's been hard. We've had a couple games where we've gotten it going, and then there's been the penalty to knock us back. We haven't had that one drive like Green Bay last year, the first game of the year, where we just went right down the field and scored a touchdown. We'd like to get to that. So there's so many factors, Mark, that go into that with exactly the why part, and they've all been a little bit different people at different times. So that's been the challenging part.
How much of it is like X's and O's? I mean, are teams just responding to what you've been doing? You know what I'm saying? Just
no, I don't think so. I mean, you can go through the plays that occurred. If you talk about the first drive, right? The first three plays. So the first play, positive 5 yards. I'll take that all day long. Second and 5 all day. Come back with a run, lose 4 yards on a run, right? Now it's 3rd and 9. You don't want to be in 3rd and 9 as much as you can. Just try to stay away from it. So we get in 3rd and 9 and we ended up, not completing the ball on a 3rd and 9 play. So now you just like that, 3 and out. And then you come back the very next drive. They held them to 3. Come back here. And now it's 1st and 10. Let's start. Okay, sack. And so, that's you can't have those negative plays.
On that third down throw for Mitch where he missed Allen, mm-hmm. How much was the pressure, maybe even just the expectation of pressure factor when he looked at it?
I don't think it was. See, it's so early in the game. That's your first throw. there's no expectation of pressure. You can't have it because you haven't had a throw yet to know if there is a pressure. It ended up being a little bit of a factor for James to get pushed back like he did. That's a pretty good football player there, Fletcher Cox, big guy. But I don't think it was enough to where it affected that. That Mitch wasn't thinking that going into the throw. So A-Rod ran a nice route, and we missed it.
Remember, Matt, the play where the Eagles had those, like, all the rushers on the one side?
Yeah.
When they sacked Mitch? Yeah. Had they shown that look before?
No, that was unscouted. Yeah, they have not shown that before, and that was a good play by them. We had enough guys there, but that was something that that's an in-game adjustment that we need to make.
You're listening to a Built for Tough Bears Monday here on The Score.
Redirected back to the left.
I'm not going to get into all the – yeah, I can't get into all that because some of that is just literally through scheme.
The sack that Mitch took where it looked like – I think you guys are in five wide and everyone kind of ran like a quick stick route.
Early on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you
guys do? Yeah, that would be one that I think Mitch would tell you he'd want back, you know, getting the ball. It's a quick game ball out type deal, and so that's certainly one that we'd want back.
The understanding the collective nature of the breakdowns in the first half, what is your sense for players' belief in Mitch?
Yeah, no, it's there. And it's because here's how we do. We look at it as the whole unit. And there's – you go back and look at yesterday's game, I'll just tell you, offensively, there's a lot more than just one person, just to keep it really, really simple. And you guys all get a chance to watch. That's the part that's frustrating is that Mitch knows, and I know, and we all know it goes to him. He gets it. But there's a lot of people involved here that we're, you know, we really believe in that didn't happen yesterday. That's the part that's frustrating.
Curious what you thought of the two deep balls, the one to Taylor, then the one down the sideline to Allen that he got two.
Right. So the first, we always coach off a completion, so I always take a 53-yard completion. Taylor ran a heck of a route. We schemed it. We had that ready to go for that point in time, and those guys executed it to perfection. So that's a far throw. I don't know the exact distance from where he threw it. You know, exactly how far it was, I'm guessing was over 50 yards on a diagonal, so that can become a long throw. But we were happy with that. The second one, A-Rob did get behind him, and I think what happened is Mitch took an extra hitch. So I think he double hitched it. It would have been good to see one hitch and the ball's up sooner, and now there's a possibility there where it's not underthrown.
Late in the second quarter, you guys had some momentum, got the first down, and got near midfield. You had the third and four, it looked like a sprint out. And there was pressure, and David cut that, the rusher on that side. Can Mitch still get that ball to Allen at the stick there? He's got to kind of...
Yeah, that's one of those... That's kind of. Those are all different a little bit on how the DBs play. So when the DBs are playing, depending on how their hips are turned, their depth, their leverage, if they're inside or outside. And I think for the way that DB was, it just made Mitch kind of think, I don't know if I can force this in there or not. So, you know, that's, again, on footwork and timing. And he ended up going more on a 7-7. He threw it up to 29. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always just little intricacies to each one of those plays, and that was one.
How do you manage or guard against a burnout factor for your defense? They seem like they're getting worn down mentally as much as anything.
Just communicating with them and talking to them, and then offensively, when the physical side of it, you got to go out there and we got to get points on the board. That'll help them with the burnout factor. You put points on the board offensively. Defensively, I have all the belief in those guys and how they're going to handle themselves, even after a four-game losing streak. I think what happens is you see their character jump up even more, and you realize that they lead themselves defensively, and I think just all in all, the whole unit, they feed off of that, and so I have confidence that they won't get burnt out.
Can you sense some of the fatigue and spurts with them where it's just kind of like,
When you're on the field that long, yeah. Yeah, you can. I mean, that's a now third. They can help themselves out on certain third downs of getting off the field. That was a little bit of a struggle, but I'd be crazy to put blame on them for some of that stuff because they've been out there a little while.
You alluded to James Daniels and Fletcher Cox. What are your takeaways for James from this game in particular?
There's times that no matter who you are at center, that's going to happen. I mean, Fletcher Cox has been doing that for a long time.
He's an all pro. And there's plays that James is going to want back. James knows he's better in certain areas of some of those plays. So we just got to stay positive with him and know that he's young and that we can keep working with him.
Yeah, overall, we hit the halfway point of the season here, and he's a young player that you guys obviously moved positions. How would you characterize how he's done so far and where you think he's headed?
Right. I think that right now, all in all, he's learning the position. We could all be better. I think all of them can. That's been some of the part there with us is, again, a lot of it goes on the running back and the quarterback and the offensive line. It's to each their own. So we're learning with that process. And the communication thing is big. We want to keep growing in that